This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
If you do a search on rooftop farms in Malaysia, you'll find less than 20. Why has this concept not been more widely adopted, and what does it take to run one? I'm here with Emil Jihad from Fresh Grocer. And so what's so exciting is that it's just down the road from my house, right? Emil, good morning. First question, do you have any farming experience?
Do I come from a farming background personally?
Yes.
No, the answer is no, I don't. So this journey, so to speak, has been very exciting and interesting. I'm learning every day. Honestly, our whole team is, because I find that with farming, it's an ongoing process. We're always trying new things each day, and we're learning new things each day about, you know, you're dealing with live things here.
Okay.
A bit different from just theory.
So Emil, what was your background? What got you on this trajectory?
So my background actually was mainly in hospitality. I worked in tech, and I still have some involvement with that, and also F&B. My co-founder and partner, Tony Yang, he is an accountant and a management consultant, as well as a successful entrepreneur. So that's his background. So we come from two pretty different backgrounds, but it seems to work. You know, we balance each other out.
When did you both decide to be farmers?
Oh, well, I mean, just generally speaking, I feel like everyone in a way is intrigued by farming. So my partner, Tony, specifically, he has more experience in farming than I do. He grew up in Australia, so he had a lot of time spent on the farm, very hands-on, I think truly a passion for him. Some involvement in farming businesses in Australia, strawberries specifically, if I'm not wrong. And he continues to farm pretty regularly, even in his house. For me, I'm much newer to the field than he is. But in the past few years, when we first started bouncing around this idea, I started to study, and we spent a lot of time actually visiting farms of all types, learning about the different kinds of methods that people use and these quirky little tricks that people use. Yeah.
Right. Okay. What was it like trying to convince one utama to, you know, embark on this project?
Oh, well, you know, first of all, I want to say that we are very grateful to One Utama for the opportunity to, you know, embark on this journey and really to share in their mission and vision of being a green organization. So One Utama has several green initiatives, and we are lucky to be a part of that. What was it like convincing them? It was a long journey. I'm sure we weren't the only ones trying. So, you know, we tried. We just kept persisting for a while until, you know, fortunately, they decided to take a chance on us.
If you just joined us, I'm here with Emil Jihad from Fresh Grocer. And Grocer is spelled G-R-O-W-C-E-R. Okay, now your farm is a hydroponic farm. And that is your own, no?
No, so we actually have several kinds of growing systems. Huh. So we have aquaponics, which is essentially fish living in the same system as plants. This is actually one of our three core values, which is part of our green and sustainable farming initiative. So fish waste is actually recycled as fertilizer for the plants. That water is then cleaned and then recycled in for the fish. So it's all in right. One system. And this actually ties in directly with another one of our core values, which is being pesticide free.
Right.
So we actually invite customers to come to our farm to see with their own eyes that we do not use pesticide, because the proof is right there. If we were to use chemical pesticides in our systems, the fish would die.
Right.
So we actually want people to come and see it rather than just read that, oh, we're, you know, pesticide free or we're organic and so on and so forth, because how do you really tell?
Right. So at least they can see for themselves. To your knowledge, are most rooftop farms hydroponic or aquaponic, to your knowledge?
To my knowledge, I mean, it's hard for me to really comment on that because I personally have not been to any other rooftop farm in Malaysia. And some have made the claim that we are the first to do it here, especially in a commercial retail aspect where you can actually walk in as a customer and self-harvest the vegetables. Right. So that actually ties in directly to our third core value, which is self-harvesting. And the reason why we're promoting that so heavily is because there is no nutrition lost when you self-harvest. So I'll give you an example. When you go to a supermarket, even if you have the finest organic produce, it has typically been harvested anywhere from 3 to 5 days before, and the roots have been cut off. And essentially, once the roots are cut off, the vegetable is leaking out nutrition. And in that 3 to 5 day period, or longer, to be honest, the veg has pretty much lost 50% of its nutrition, if not more. So we are really heavily promoting self-harvest because we want customers to have vegetables that retain the full amount of nutrition.
As much as possible.
As much as possible. And we test this ourselves in different ways. So for example, I've self-harvested, brought it home. Instead of putting it in the fridge, I just put the roots in a little shallow bowl of water and it stays green and fresh for days. It doesn't even go bad without being in the fridge. That's one thing I've noticed. The other thing I've noticed is that when you even cook the vegetables, typically once you cook the vegetables, even if you keep it in the fridge, it starts to lose color. It becomes less green or even turns yellow. I've tested up to 1 week myself and I can see the vegetables are retaining its color and its flavor. And actually someone pointed that out to me, and then I tested it myself. So we're learning every day. This is a new discovery as of yesterday.
And so how long has it been?
We opened on 17th, March 17th.
Okay, now how big is the space?
It is about 6,000 square feet. So I'd love for you to come at some point if you have time.
Yeah.
And essentially you come up to the rooftop. There's a small retail area where we sell house plants. We're adding some nice orchids as corporate gifts. We have organic planting products, great stuff. And then when you walk past that, we have more house plants. And then we have organic fruits from small farms around the area. So we have some fruits from Tanjung Malim. We have some fruits coming in from Seminyak, all organic. And then we have some fish tanks where you can actually go and choose your live fish, and one of our colleagues will fish it out, cut it, and clean it for you.
Wow.
On the spot. And then you enter the greenhouse, where you see the various farming systems that we touched on a little bit earlier.
And the fish would have been from the farm.
Yes, yes. So we don't rare the fish from fries, meaning not from that tiny little size. We work with some farmers in the area, and we get small fish from them. Then we grow them till they're ready for sale, and then we sell them. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So I've got so many questions, but we'll continue this after this little break. I'm here with Emil Juhat from Fresh Grocer. Stay tuned to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Begin fun moments. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. If you just joined us, it's Open for Business. I'm here with Emil Juhat from Fresh Grocer. Grocer spelled G-R-O-W-C-E-R. They're a rooftop farm on top of Wan Utama, occupying 6,000 feet. So you were saying that it's aquaponic. The fish in there, do you leave the fish there? Are they then used and sold?
So, yes. I mean, the short answer is yes. The the fish live in the aquaponic system. So throughout their life there, they provide, you know, their waste is becomes fertilizer for the plants, right? So they live there, they become a natural source of fertilizer. And then when they reach the appropriate size, which is the size that most people demand, which is 700 grams and above, then we move them to the fish display tanks, which are in a different location of the farm. There, it's right in the front. So customers typically walk up to it. They choose the fish that they like. Our colleagues, like I said, fish it out, cut it, clean it on the spot.
What sort of fish do you have?
At the moment, so we have a few. The largest quantity we have at the moment is red tilapia, which has, you know, I'm no fish expert, but it does have apparently some kind of marking, which makes it a bit more rare. So the response has been quite good. We are adding more fish and other aquaculture in the near future. So we'll be adding baong mera, which is part of the patin family, jade perch, which is an Australian breed of fish, which you might find in several Chinese restaurants these days, high in omega fatty acids, and we're adding tiger prawns. So hopefully that's ready within the month, because the demand for that is quite high, I'd say.
How many types of vegetables do you grow?
Oh, we grow, I'd say more than 10 at any given time. And then we're constantly adding more. You know, you have your staple list, right? The core, which essentially is divided into two broad categories. One being Asian leafy, so-called Asian leafy, and the other being European leafy. In Asian leafy, you've got your pak choy, nai pak, siu pak choy sum.
The staples.
The staples which people come and grab every day. Yeah, the core of the Malaysian diet. So that's the Asian leafy. And then you've got the so-called European leafy, which I don't even know if it's an accurate term, but you know what people say. In that category, we have, you know, all types of lettuce. So that's like romaine, green coral, red coral. We also have things like curly kale, Italian basil, rocket, and also known as arugula salad. Right. And we're just constantly adding more stuff.
And if kale is easily, I know kale is hot, right? Is it easily grown?
I wouldn't say it's easily grown, because even the first batch that we tried, I was quite worried. I thought it wasn't going to make it, because it was growing so slowly. I just didn't think it was going to work out given our temperature and climate and all that. But we figured out some things. That's why I keep saying it's like it's an ongoing thing. You have to really pay attention to the plants.
Right. So it's a greenhouse. So temperature sort of controlled.
It is controlled, but in the sense that, you know, this is again ties back to the green farming. So we don't use any artificial cooling systems. We just use a big exhaust fan, essentially, which keeps the air circulating, and take other measures to make sure the vegetables are kept cool. So it's just a lot of care.
What do you do with excess vegetables?
So we are actually in the middle of setting up some collaborations with NGOs and charities, and perhaps potentially even some schools, where we can donate the excess produce, because we want to really maintain this zero waste policy. So at the moment, even our fish, for example, eat vegetables. So they're vegetarian or vegan, perhaps. Yeah. So we're trying to have a closed loop. We don't want to have any wasted. Yeah, like I said, talking to NGOs, schools, charities, and we hope to have those set up, because we, you know, it really is a shame to be wasting vegetables like that.
Right. When do you see yourself being profitable?
You know, I would hope very soon.
Right.
But it's, you know, in our plan, honestly, we're also an educational center. We already had actually a university visit several weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. The aquaculture degree holders came in for a field trip. We did a nice tour of the farm. They're quite technical people, right? Because this is what they study. So we were very engaged in conversation. And we'd really like to have more schools come and visit. It could be, you know, primary school, secondary school, universities, you know, special interest groups, stuff like that. We really want to promote the educational aspect of this.
Right. What is the growth plan for Fresh Grocer? Do you see more rooftop farms?
Yeah, so we are very focused on making this a success first. Of course, you know, given the right time and the right place and the right opportunity, we would consider. Of course, the long-term plan is also to expand. But I think it's too early to say, you know, where and how exactly.
And have they been people approaching you to say, please start one on my rooftop?
Yes, there have been. Okay. Yes, there have been. We have a lot of visitors with business propositions, to be honest.
Okay. So 6,000 square feet, was that the right size? Did you want it bigger? Did you want it smaller?
At the moment, I am quite comfortable with the size. You know, if we can get you over there at some point, you'll find that it's, it is decently spacious. Of course, it's limited. You know, a traditional farm, I guess, would be much, much larger. But that would also be very difficult to control from a retail perspective. So we are, you know, we're really happy with the space, really happy with the opportunity.
Right. So with that kind of space they have, what kind of power, manpower is needed to maintain this space?
Well, at any given time, at the very least, we have three people who come in on a daily basis to man the farm. So this actually ties in to our other concept of we want to be a working farm. So we're not just a showcase. If you come in, you'll see our team working. They're planting seeds. They are transferring plants. They're pruning, they're cropping, they're cleaning, they're moving the fish around. They're always working because it's ongoing. It really requires that kind of attention. Unfortunately, it's not as simple as just setting up a showcase and letting it run itself because, you know, you're dealing with live things all day on the farm itself.
So you're looking at what, 10 people, you say?
No. On a shift, on a daily shift basis, I'd say four people, you know, who come in at different times.
Right.
But, you know, the team is great. You've got some guys from farming backgrounds and aquaculture backgrounds, and some guys like me who didn't know a thing about farming.
Why do you think rooftop farming hasn't taken on in a big way? Is it still new? Are people now open to it? You know, malls and also there's so many buildings, there's so many commercial buildings. Do you think that's going to be the way forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely an interest in it. But I mean, I don't want to say that, you know, we're the first to make it work. But it's really tough. I mean, I know the whole process, right? I can't deny that it's quite difficult to do. So if you're not really, you know, dedicated to it and willing to, I mean, it's you know, odd hours, right? You're working. It's a shopping mall. You can only do work at night. So by default, you're working overnight. Then it's not as simple as a simple retail shop. You're actually doing some minor construction on a rooftop. There's a lot of challenges. It's definitely very challenging. As to your question about, is this the future of farming? I think there is a lot of interest in that space. We see it from all types of
Thank you for listening to this
businesses
podcast.
Who are,
to find
are discussing
more great
these ideas.
Go to BFM.
I think there's definitely a strong interest.
Find us
in
on
so,
iTunes.
You know, like you asked me earlier, have I been asked about doing more of these? Yes, I have. And I suspect that that would potentially continue to happen.
Right. Well, I look forward to visiting you guys soon. I've been speaking to Emil Jihad from Fresh Grocer. You've been listening to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.